As struggles continue with overcoming a global pandemic, one common obstacle is once again rearing its head: vaccine hesitancy. Dr. Glenn Nowak is Associate Dean for Research and Graduate Studies and Co-Director of the Center for Health and Risk Communication at UGA's Grady College of Journalism and Mass Communication. Recently, Dr. Nowak spoke with WUGA's health correspondent, Lauren Baggett, from UGA's College of Public Health. Here's their conversation.
Dr. Nowak, this may be an obvious question, but going back to the beginning, what does it mean to be vaccine hesitant?
There's a lot of formal definitions, but I think at the end of the day, it means that you're reluctant. You have some concerns, you have some worries, you have some doubts. A lot of times the worry and doubt is about what's going to happen after I get vaccinated. What's going to happen a week later? Am I going to feel crummy? Am I going to have a fever? Is my arm going to be sore? So a lot of people, it's really, I know sort of what the illness could bring in terms of symptoms, but I don't have much certainty regarding what the vaccine could bring in terms of reactions. And so for a lot of people, it's the reactions that they're concerned about.
So in what you've been observing in the conversations around concerns over the COVID-19 vaccine, are there any myths you'd like to address here about the safety and effectiveness of the COVID-19 vaccine?
Well, I think what people forget is how many doses have been administered, that over 180 million doses have been administered to people in the United States. There have been very rare reports of some adverse events. Myocarditis among perhaps younger males has been one that was picked up. Early on, there were reports of anaphylaxis reactions after vaccine. Those seem to have sort of really not been as prominent, and that I think is a sign that we haven't continued to see them. So I think when people say that they're worried because we don't have enough experience with the vaccine, this vaccine is one of the few vaccines that we have a lot of experience in the sense that a lot of people have received it, both in the United States and the world. And so if you're thinking that this is a quote-unquote experimental vaccine, that's been a very large experiment. Over, like I said, 180 million people have been vaccinated.
And what has been shown to reduce vaccine hesitancy?
There's a number of things that have been shown to reduce vaccine hesitancy. You know, the first one, a lot of people get information from their healthcare provider, from their doctor, or even the nurse who will administer a vaccine. And it's those conversations that they have with those healthcare providers. If healthcare providers give a strong, genuine, authentic recommendation and have a good explanation of how the vaccine is going to work and what to expect in the days following vaccination, you can overcome many people's reluctance because that's what they're, like I mentioned, is concerned about. They're concerned about what's going to happen after I get this vaccine. Listening to people, trying to treat them as individuals. A lot of people who will say that they're not going to get a vaccine will say that the reason I'm not going to get the vaccine is I feel like I'm being treated as a number, that there's a larger goal and my individual health situation is not being taken into account. So taking people's individual health situation into account also helps quite a bit. And then seeing other people like themselves get vaccinated and hearing those stories also can help a lot.
And so thinking about the public health effort in trying to reach lots of people at once, and we know we have pockets and groups of people who don't want to get the COVID-19 vaccine, and we know this has been the case for flu as well. How do you go about delivering a message to encourage vaccination that's addressing, in the case of, for example, African-Americans who might still have a mistrust in public health?
Well, I think one of the things you first have to do in public health, and I think we as a broader society have to recognize, is that we have to make investments in education when it comes to vaccines and medical recommendations. We traditionally have not invested in education and communications. As a result, we've tended to rely on the vaccines or medicines to sell themselves. When I first started working in immunization with immunization experts, a lot of them would say to me, we don't need to do much in terms of communications and education because the benefits are so obvious. These vaccines will speak for themselves. People will clearly want to be protected against these infectious diseases. Well, we've learned that not everybody and not many people hold that belief. Now, I think the majority of people do believe that, but if even 30% of Americans don't believe that, that's a lot of people that we have to educate. And we haven't made the investment in educating people about vaccines.
Well, Dr. Nowak, thank you for being here and sharing these valuable insights.
You're very welcome.
Dr. Glenn Nowak is Associate Dean for Research and Grad Studies and Co-Director for Health and Risk Communication at UGA's Grady College. And, of course, Lauren Baggett is WUGA's Health and Science Correspondent and Communications Director at UGA's College of Public Health.